And good afternoon. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. My name is Jim Kelly, and Bill Buckmaster is on vacation in a wonderful deserted island in Rarotonga, I think is where he's at down in the South Pacific with his lovely wife, and it's celebrating their anniversary. If you guys want to follow Bill's adventures in the South Pacific, you can go to his Facebook page, Bill Buckmaster, and he'll be giving pictures and updates of his trip. I'm grateful that he gives me the opportunity to guest host his show, and today we've got a great show. There was a nice article in the Arizona Daily Star talking by Joe Ferguson talking about some of the challenges that the city of South Tucson is facing. A 1.2 square mile city surrounded by the rest of Tucson. And I am privileged to have the city manager for the city of South Tucson, Sixto Molina. Sixto, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jim.
Sixto, basically what the story was today is that the city of South Tucson is a little over $500,000 in the red, and that you have offered up some suggestions and have made some requests of the surrounding governments with the city of Tucson and also through Pima Alliance of Governments. Is that correct? Or Pima Association of Governments?
Well, we're working with PAG, okay. But for the most part, we're looking at how we can partner up with other municipalities to provide services for the city if it comes to that.
Sure, no, and I understand that. So at this point, what you're looking at is partnering with the city of Tucson to provide police support from 2 a.m. till 6 p.m. or 6 a.m., is that it?
Right. We put that request on the table to see what the cost would be. In the end, the cost may not be beneficial to us. Our objective is to trim our expenses. And so we're looking at all ways to trim expenses.
And according to the story, you are presently at least talking to a private vendor for emergency medical services. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So do you, if you can get these savings, which is estimated about $300,000 a year, how do you cover the rest of it? How are you going to cover the other losses that are going on right now?
Probably. In all probability, I would recommend not filling current vacant positions. The first time the story broke was that we were like over $600,000 in debt, or that we had a shortfall for next year's budget. As of today, we're at the number is at $515,000, so it's getting a little rosier for us, making it a little easier to balance that budget.
Tell me a little bit about the history of the city of South Tucson. When were you incorporated? What was sort of the reasoning of the people of the community to separate themselves from the rest of the city of Tucson?
Well, the town was incorporated, I believe, in 1936, and then disincorporated in 37, and then reincorporated in 38, 39. But the reason the community exists is not because folks didn't want to be part of the city of Tucson, but from what I've read, the city of Tucson ended at about 18th Street, 22nd Street. And by then, the Veterans Hospital had been built at its current location near Sixinajo. So between the city of Tucson and Veterans Hospital, there was just a dirt trail. And a sewer line needed to be built between the city of Tucson to the Veterans Hospital. And when that started to happen, folks started settling around the sewer line, which is currently 6th Avenue. And the city just kind of took off on its own from there. As time went on, the folks that incorporated South Tucson didn't want it to grow. They wanted to keep it small. And the city eventually just grew all around it and landlocked the city.
One of the things that I've always found interesting about the city of South Tucson, My personal family history goes back to, I had a great aunt that had rental properties as well as her own house at 35th and 5th. So I have history there. But one of the things I always found interesting about the city of South Tucson is there's historical barrios there. There's the people that are both from the tribe, the nation, and a lot of the workers, a lot of the people that lived there actually were working in the mines in the old days. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And they weren't necessarily, like you said, you know, back in the old days of the city of Tucson and South Tucson, they couldn't even spell zoning, let alone define it. And so you had basically, you know, if you could buy the property and build your house, you were good to go. And there wasn't a lot of inspections or zoning or any kind of standards. But over the years, things have changed dramatically. So at this point, you're looking at, you told me earlier, you have 71 acres of prime real estate that is developable for commercial purposes. Is that correct?
Yes, there's about 70 acres of prime real commercial real estate. Most of the properties along Interstate 10 on the southern boundary of the city. And then if you move northward between the railroad tracks and 4th Avenue toward 36th Street. So that area has been identified as being redevelopable. It was developed, buildings got old, came crashing down, but it's redevelopable.
Well, so there's some hope there that if the commercial developers can see the value of the adjacentness of I-10, and you're also close to the I-19 interchange as well, but specifically I-10, that the curve there at I-10, I think that, you know, the revenue can be raised. How interested is the community, the people, the voters, in creating that kind of a welcoming environment?
I think they are very interested in that. Let me give you some history about I-10. In 1969, when I-10 was built and opened, that pretty much killed all the commerce along Benson Highway, which included South Tucson, 6th Avenue, which included South Tucson, Miracle Mile, because that was I-10 at that time. And it's been, over 50 years now that those areas have been dying a slow death.
Right.
But now with I-10 being redesigned and upgraded, beginning from 6th Avenue East to Kolb, there's a window of opportunity for us to work with ADOT, which we are doing, and Pima County is supporting us in that effort to make egress and ingress onto the freeway, onto the commercial areas that have been identified popular, and make it easy to get to. So that's what we're doing right now to set the groundwork for whatever development may come in the future.
One of the things that I have always found interesting is, you're absolutely right, is that you, along 6th Avenue, your businesses, particularly your hospitality industry with the motel businesses, have suffered dramatically, just like Oracle and Miracle Mile suffered for years. And there has been, you know, there's been some pockets of really good things that have occurred at the Miracle Mile. After the closing of the Kmart, the new forensic laboratory and Western District for TPD, would there be a possibility of something like that happening on 6th Avenue in the city of South Tucson? In other words, you know, a large government a project that could literally change the entire face of 6th Avenue.
Oh, absolutely. If with a property that's available along I-10 and along 6th Avenue, there's a lot of possibilities. In fact, that face is changing right now as we speak. There's a new dental office going in right there at 6th and near 6th and I-10. It's actually at 6th and 39th.
Right.
That's going to change the face of South Tucson. And then across the street, there's a gas station where the gas tanks have been removed. I'm not at liberty at this moment to say what's going in there, but we're looking very much forward to that new business setting up shop there.
And one of the reasons I'm talking about the very positive things that are occurring and that are capable of occurring in the city of South Tucson is because, quite frankly, you're going to need help from the county. You're going to need help from the city of Tucson to at least cooperate with you so that you guys can grow and grow your revenue.
Exactly.
To get out of the hole that everybody's in right now. So again, that's something I'm you know, hopeful for. With regards to the neighborhoods, what is their attitudes? I mean, are they supportive of what the city council wants to do, what you want to do with the city council? Is the city council supporting your vision and your management of what's happening?
Yes, this particular city council is very much pro-business. I personally have gone out to and spoken to a lot of business people to get their feedback, see what they want. And one of the things that they've asked is that the sales tax, which is at 4.5%, be reduced. And the more businesses we get in there, we can move in that direction.
Sixto, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, the phone number for any guest, for anybody that would like to ask ask Sixto, my guest, Sixto Molina, any questions, is 520-790-2040. Welcome to the Bill Buckmaster Show.
This is T. Van Hook, CEO of Habitat for Humanity Tucson. Are you or someone you know ready to purchase a safe, affordable home? We are currently seeking individuals and families to become the owners of new and refurbished homes in the greater Tucson area. At Habitat Tucson, we believe that everyone deserves a decent, affordable place to call home. For information, visit us at habitattucson.org or call us at 326-1217. Habitat Tucson is an equal housing opportunity provider.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. The Buckmaster Show features Arizona newsmakers and more than two dozen Buckmaster Show contributors. Everything from foreign affairs to the arts is on the table and open for discussion, and your calls from one end of Southern Arizona to the other. The Buckmaster Show, weekdays during the noon hour on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice, and we're always on buckmastershow.com.
And we're back. This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Just 3 hours each, three hours each way from the Tucson to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. There is so much to do in Silver City and historic downtown Silver City. Visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monuments for a complete listing of the many things to do and great places to stay, visit southwestnewmexico.org, Silver City, New Mexico. And we are back with my guest, Sixto Molina, the city of South Tucson city manager. And during the break, we talked about a number of different things. But let's go back and talk about some history. And that is, over the last 10 or 15 years, there has been various rumors of misdealings or mishandling or misappropriation. In your tenure so far, have you seen any evidence whatsoever of misappropriation or mishandling of city funds?
Since I've been city manager, no. What occurred before that, there was an employee that was fired because she embezzled the funds, but did not properly account for funds.
Was she just padding her hours, or actually?
No, she was handling money.
Right.
And money was found after she was terminated. Money was found in different places.
Okay, good. And again, now, one of the things that that occurred in the city of South Tucson a few years back is a clubhouse for an infamous organization of people known as the Hells Angels. How have they been as residents? Have they been responsible? Has there been more or less calls for service from police because of their presence?
Hard to believe, but they've been model citizens. I've talked to the police department and asked exactly what you asked. And all indications are they've been model citizens. They're good neighbors. They don't cause any problems. Personally, I have not seen any of them around. But I drive by the clubhouse all the time looking for somebody, but there's nobody outside. Mm-hmm. So they spend a lot of time inside, I guess.
Okay. How likely do you think that the voters would be to vote for a rental tax?
Well, the people that would vote for that rental tax would be the registered voters. 30% of the people that live in South Tucson are actual owners of their property. About 70% of the people that don't live there are renters. So the amount...
What's voter registration in the city of South Tucson? About 790 at this point.
You know what? I'm not sure.
I think one of the last city elections, I think it was at 790 or 800 something, and that may be people who voted as opposed to the actual registered voters. The registered voter rolls may be a little bit higher than that, right. But I do know that during the city elections, you get a pretty good turnout. I know you've been getting above 30% on a regular basis, which is pretty darn good considering. Those elections are held at odd times.
Well, it's better than what it used to be. I remember maybe about 100 votes being cast during an election.
Oh my word!
That was early '90s.
Yeah, right. So let's go forward and again talk about the relationships that the city of South Tucson has. If there's anything that is irreparable with anybody, or or is again, you know, it's Pima Association of Government, County, City of Tucson. Steve Kozacik, Councilman Steve Kozacik from Ward 6, has been quoted as basically expressing reticence in helping the city of South Tucson in any way. Is there a way that an agreement that says, all right, you know, under these circumstances, can we get a 10-year agreement to provide police services or fire services or whatever the services that are going to be required? And in that time, you know, give us some breathing room so that we can, you know, increase our tax revenue with commercial development.
I would imagine that anything's possible, but the reality is, for example, with the city of Tucson, they used to have close to 1,100 officers. They're down to just over 800. So they're struggling too. You know, it's hard to help somebody else out when you're struggling. And we understand that. We do have IGAs with the police department and fire department for mutual aid because we understand, okay, if somebody's shorthanded one night, you know, the other can help out. Currently, we do contract with the city of Tucson. Our public safety, police and fire are on the respective police and fire same radio systems that Tucson is, and we pay them a fee for that. So that's worked out very well. We've been able to help each other out in times of need, especially when staffing levels are low. So I can understand the reluctance for another government to want to take on additional responsibilities. And I think our obligation in South Tucson is, hey, try to take care of your own problems first. And so far, we haven't made any decisions, but we've put a lot of options on the table for mayor and council to consider. And we're probably going to put some more once we get some more numbers.
The voters of the city of Tucson overwhelmingly voted to tax themselves a half-cent sales tax, specifically for roads, police, and fire, to upgrade police and fire equipment, manpower, the whole nine yards, as well as, you know, fix their roads in the city of Tucson. One of the things that I attended a meeting a few months ago with the Arizona Department of Transportation. One of the things that they were discussing was a train, a passenger train service between Tucson and Phoenix, and we overwhelmingly requested that the terminus be at Tucson International Airport, and we would like to see a feed from what is now the streetcar system in the city of Tucson to feed that to the airport. Would the city of South Tucson welcome a streetcar coming down the middle of 6th Avenue?
Oh, absolutely. I think the bus route that goes down 6th Avenue is probably one of the busiest in the cities, is what I've heard. So I think if there was a streetcar line there, that it would be equally as busy. Then also, the Old Pueblo trolley system would like to make a trolley line along 4th Avenue from 36th Street north to 25th.
And I kind of like that idea because 4th Avenue is a historic district.
Exactly.
And the trolley, the Old Pueblo trolley, would also be historic. And
right.
I personally think that would be good. One of the reasons I talk about the streetcar is that because the cost per mile at this point is really, really high. And the only way to bring down the cost per mile is to expand.
Exactly.
So hopefully we do expand the streetcar line. And I know I'm going to take a lot of heat at Republican headquarters over that one. With regards to quality of life, is there improvement? I know that you've dealt with some really tough public health issues with regards to the opioid epidemic. You probably guys get hit harder than anybody. You have a very transient homeless population in and out because of the location of their services, which is Salvation Army, the VA, or Gospel Rescue Mission, all of these organizations. Are they stepping up to the plate saying, let's do what we can to improve the plight of the city of South Tucson?
The Gospel Rescue Mission has. I haven't spoken to anybody at Salvation Army, but they seem to be doing all the right things. What hurts is when people walk around aimlessly all day around the business district. Some of the folks have some mental issues, and they get hungry. And when you get hungry and you don't have something to eat, you shoplift and get something to eat.
Sixto, thank you very, very much. I really appreciate you being my guest today. Been wanting this conversation with you since you took over. And thank you again very, very much. This portion of the Buckmaster Show brought to you by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico.
Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, named after the classic New Orleans cocktail. Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza.
Summer reading is free and fun at the Pima County Public Library, where your new favorite book is waiting for you. At librarypima.gov, we have hundreds of free activities, programs, and special events just for kids May 20th through July 15th. Dream big this summer. Visit your local library or librarypima.gov to find out how.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The excitement is building for the grand opening in 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive.
And we're back with a new guest for the second half of the Bill Buckmaster Show. I'm Jim Kelly, filling in for Bill Buckmaster while he is on vacation in the South Pacific. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Green Things, located at 3384 East River Road, just west of the intersection of Dodge and Winter, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Check out Green Things, 13 acres, for all your gardening and green thing needs. For more, visit greenthings.com. And I want to welcome Joseph Morgan. Joe and I go back a few years. We've worked a number of different campaigns over time for different candidates and different issues, sometimes even against each other, I think. Joe has a weekly column, correct?
It's a bi-weekly with a star.
Bi-weekly a column with the Arizona Daily Star. Now, Joe is a conservative, and the Arizona Daily Star is not exactly known for a conservative editorial board. What's it like? What kind of feedback are you getting on this column these days?
Well, I guess it depends on the nature of the piece. I haven't received a lot of love, as you might imagine. I really appreciate, first of all, I want to say that. I want to thank Jill Jordan Spitz and Sarah Gasson for inviting me on board and making me part of the team. And they've been very fair. I really do appreciate that. But I understand, because like you, I was raised in Tucson, and so I was raised around conservative friends and whatnot, and most of them called it the Red Star and didn't actually read it. So I knew that my readership starting out was probably going to be not in my field of political philosophy per se, which I'm fine with, because I'm all about trying to actually dialogue with the other side. I don't believe in name calling; it doesn't get us anywhere. And besides, we're trying to, if we live in a community together, we should want to dialogue with one another and hear the other side and hear the opposing ideas. So the feedback, by and large, as a result of that, has been largely, as you might expect, negative because of the audience that I'm particularly being promoted to. But I also think that, and I'm hoping, because I have a lot of conservative friends who never read the paper before, who told me they're reading my column and are reading the Star as a result. So I hope that continues and they get more conservative readership and we can get back to having a community where we're dialoguing with the different ideas.
And you're absolutely right, because at this point you have a double-edged sword. Mm-hmm. You not only have to convince the normal, what we would consider liberal readership of the mm-hmm. Arizona Daily Star within the confines of Tucson, but we're now having to, convince the Oro Valley residents, the Vail residents, the Marana residents, the more conservative communities that surround Tucson, that there is something worth reading in the Arizona Daily Star now, and that is you, and I think Jonathan Hoffman as well. One of the things I've noticed about your columns is that they tend to be fairly objective. I don't see a lot of vitriolic adjectives added at the end of every statement that you make, and that's refreshing for me.
Thank you.
It's very refreshing for me. Well, let's get started on some issues. First off, what do you think of the city sales tax passing literally by a 2-to-1 margin?
Well, I'm a resident of the city of Tucson, and I'll be honest, because I don't mind. I know some people are very private about what they do in the voter box, and I respect that. I'm not. I never have been. I don't mind people knowing how I vote on anything and why I vote on it that way. I actually voted against this, and the primary reason why I did so is because the residents of Tucson are already the highest taxed of any people in the municipality of Pima County. We are already a very, very taxed people. My question has always been, why is the city of Tucson so horribly mismanaged? And it is, and it has been for decades. And that's where I want to see some changes, to start seeing better management of our city. And so I voted against it. And I'll be honest, this time around, I didn't pay that much attention to this city sales tax. I saw the different things. It's for the fire, it's for the police and different things. But I mean, we kind of see that a lot in almost every election cycle. It's for the kids, it's for this, it's for that. And so you have to actually do your research on anything if you really want to find out where the money's going, why it's going to that. And I'll be honest, I didn't actually do that this time around. I've been very, very busy, especially working with Western Free Press, the other place that I work. I manage their Facebook page, and the national news has been rather crazy, and I've been writing pieces about that, but you have to research to write those. But that's why I'm just saying I took a principled stand against this, because Tucson already has a bunch of taxation. And believe me, I feel the pain of every driver in Tucson who drives over the potholes that dominate our street landscape. And we ask ourselves, when is this ever going to change? A friend of mine, we always joke every election season. You can tell because the pothole fixers are out there. When every time an election's around, the pothole fixers are out and about filling potholes. And it's a running joke. But that's one of the things I'd like to see, some change in the city of Tucson. And to your point, I think that's going to make it a lot harder because, as you know, when I campaigned for John Winchester, I helped him write his pieces that we put out there to the public, and helped him come up with his plan that he actually was the only candidate that put out an actual plan. And of course, he got eviscerated from both sides by it. And I think it's funny that now Supervisor Miller has actually adopted his plan verbatim, pretty much. But the fact of the matter is that's going to make it harder. And we actually need a half-cent sales tax for the county roads. But it's going to be much harder now to sell that to half-cent to people who are also living in Tucson.
Well, and again, County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry literally immediately said, let's consider a sales tax for the county,
right,
to do road repair.
Right.
Got a caller for you. Joe's name's Chuck. Chuck, are you there?
Yes, I am. Yes, Mr. Kelly. Maybe you can explain to me. I personally voted against it, the sales tax increase, because I don't think the city needs the money to do what they're supposed to be doing. What I'd like to know from you, sir, is how much of the current general fund is there money set aside for the repair of roads? Do you have any idea?
Joe, do you have an idea?
No, I haven't researched the city of Tucson as much as I was for the county, because I was working for John Winchester, but I couldn't answer that. And like I said, I didn't even research this particular thing.
Chuck, and I'm going to be real honest with you. It's my understanding that there are supposed to be earmarks specifically for maintenance.
Makes sense.
But the problem is that the amount of money available is a drop in the bucket compared to the need of 60% of the roads in the city of Tucson being in poor condition or very poor condition. I've discussed this with Councilman Paul Cunningham, with Councilman Elias and or not Elias, excuse me, Fembris, and Council Member Kozacek. And it's my understanding that it's that what's set aside within the budget is a drop in the bucket compared to the need.
Mm-hmm. But Mr. Kelly, there's a couple other things here that you're forgetting about. The city has just received another $74 million of highway user funds. Where's all that money going?
Well, and again,
what about the regional transportation money?
And again, you're absolutely right. The RTA projects do overlap certain needs within the city and the county. A perfect example that I'm extremely grateful for is Valencia Road by the airport. We also they also have been working very hard on the main arterials from the airport into the city and into the north, which is Campbell Avenue. Mm-hmm. They're working on Broadway Grant. I mean, all of these things that are part of the regular bonds that we've already working on. So the specific answer I don't have, Chuck, but thank you very, very much for your call, and it's definitely food for thought. Joe, one of the things I wanted to talk to you about, or at least ask you about, is with regards to the outskirts of Tucson. I don't live in the city of Tucson, so I had absolutely no say in this vote. However, they are looking at annexing me. And one of the things that this has created over since redistricting in 2010, the city of Tucson has done micro annexations, which actually is kind of changing the demographics of the various wards. What do you think would need to change dramatically to increase conservative influence in Ward 4 or Ward 2 or Ward 6, or, you know, what would have to change?
Well, I think the biggest thing for me, and I've discovered this even more now, that I have run in political circles in which I've met people of totally disparate opinions from my own, who live in the city of Tucson, but also, again, having lived here my entire life and talking to people who are engaged in the political process, I actually, yes, the demographics have it stacked against quote-unquote Republicans as a party, but more importantly, against so-called conservatives, because of the partisanship of today's society that we find ourselves in, anybody of a conservative type thinking finds themselves going to the Republican Party. But those are mutually exclusive terms, and they are not the same thing in any way, shape, matter, or form. And so when I say this, I don't want you to say I'm trying to promote Republicans only, but that's a reality that we live in today, is that most conservatives are going to be a Republican, predominantly if they're going to run for a public office. We see a few independents that actually win, but the chances of winning, especially a larger scale, are very hard for independents. The question that I would see is more engagement, because there's so many people that I know, and I have Republican friends who don't even vote in the election process of Tucson, because they say to themselves, "What's the point? It's stacked against us."
Today or last night, 44,000 voters decided for what, 200,000 voters?
It's ridiculous.
Something like that?
Totally ridiculous.
Yeah, well, voter turnout was less than 12%.
It is appalling to me. And the thing that I say to
them— And we have a mail-in ballot.
Exactly. it's even easier. And the thing that I say to that, for anybody who wants to complain, even if they're of my ideological persuasion, is that it is ludicrous to raise hell, to scream and yell, if you're not even going to engage in the basic civic process of voting.
And we're going to be back after this break, and you're listening to the Bill Buckmaster Show. Jim Kelly, Joe Ferguson, Joe Morgan, columnist with the Arizona Daily Star.
Thanks.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Summer reading is free and fun at the Pima County Public Library, where your new favorite book is waiting for you. At librarypima.gov, we have hundreds of free activities, programs, and special events just for kids May 20th through July 15th. Dream big this summer. Visit your local library or librarypima.gov to find out how.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We have an entire section devoted to the Old West and its heritage. Contributors include Wyatt Earp historian Scott Dyke and hiking Apacheria's Jerry Egan. We also look back at Old West newspapers and feature a column, This Day in Old West History. It is Old West News from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Hi, Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
It's a land and cruise vacation sale at Bon Voyage Travel. Plan your dream vacation now and save big, up to 65%. Alaska, Hawaii, Europe, South America, the Caribbean, pick your perfect destination. Bon Voyage Travel will create your exclusive getaway that includes extra perks and bonuses you won't find anywhere else. Call Bon Voyage Travel today or visit bvtravel.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Well, it's all right, riding around in the breeze. Well, it's all right.
Is it all right?
It's all right with me.
Jim Kelly filling in for Bill Buckmaster, talking with an old friend, Joe Morgan, who is a columnist now, one of the conservative voices for Tucson and the surrounding Southern Arizona community. Letting us know his side of the story. Let's talk about, so we talked about the city of Tucson, the sales tax, all that good stuff. Let's talk about other things. Let's talk about what's happening nationwide. Saw your column in the Western Free Press. And I'm seeing people going absolutely apoplectic over the Trump-Russian meeting. I tend to believe National Security Director McMaster that nothing inappropriate was discussed. But by the same token, I know for a fact, having years ago been a part of some of the talking points that, you know, that go on the president's agenda, that, you know, there are times that you even sit down with an enemy and you say, we have a common enemy. Mm-hmm. Here's what's happening. And it's my understanding that Trump and the Russian delegation were specifically discussing a viable threat to air traffic that the Russians have experienced. They correct. Just had a passenger line shot down over Egypt, right?
Yep.
So what's wrong with that?
Well, nothing.
And it was is there a single credible source to the Washington Post or CNN? Nobody in the room is their source.
Nope.
I mean, right?
Nobody in the room. I mean, they have anonymous sources, and if you read the stories, and I read the news. I read all of it. So I don't get my news from Breitbart or The Blaze or I read the news. The problem that I have, and I have this with especially my liberal friends and those who want to find something wrong with Donald Trump. I wrote pieces in the lead up to the presidential election against Donald Trump. I wrote about his authoritarian tendencies. I wrote about, so I am not a fan of Donald Trump, and people who try to accuse me of that, go look at the record, because my record is solid. I'm not. What I believe in is critical analysis of news that is printed. And what I think is taking place today, and it is kneecapping the ability of the national media to be even taken credibly as news sources, which is problematic. And that is not the fault of Donald Trump calling them out and calling them fake news, because they are fake news with what they are doing. This is, read those sources. There's nothing in those sources. If you just look at what the sources say themselves. And my last several pieces have simply been analyzing them and showing them to be the fraudulent pieces that they claim to be based on what they themselves say and claim. I mean, most of these pieces are over 2,000 words long. So they have a hit piece title, they know nobody's going to read it, and then they cover their rear ends inside the piece by saying, well, we didn't actually mean this, and we didn't actually mean it to say that, but that's exactly what they said at the lead-in. And that's how you cover yourselves from libel, because that's how you do it. But the average person is not going to read 2,300 words of print. But I do. And I read all of it, and it's nonsense. The Washington Post is nonsense. The New York Times' latest pieces are total nonsense.
Well, one of the things that I've noticed is that they keep like quoting each other.
Exactly.
You know, half the story is the New York Times said, or half the story at CNN is, you know, as reported by the Washington Post. And so they get into this loop of an echo chamber. Something that darn near killed the Republican Party years ago was living in an echo chamber of their own gratuitousness. And now the Democrats are experiencing it. I mean, they really, really are. They are living in their echo chamber. I don't care if it's Indivisible. I don't care if it's the so-called national media. And so at least let's start looking at things critically. And I'm going to give you a perfect example. I know a couple of really good reporters, and one is a national reporter. His name's Steve Herman. He works for Voice of America. He just took over the White House duties when Trump was elected. Again, not a lot of adjectives. This is what I saw. This is what I heard. This person on the record said this. This person on the record said that. And it's incredibly, you know, right down the line. Now, you can make any judgment you want about what happened at home. You know, sitting at the kitchen table and going, that, you know, orange-haired Cheeto moron. Or or you could look at, you go on the other side and you go, oh, those crazy commie liberals, you know?
Right.
So, but at least just give me the facts.
Sure.
I mean, you know, the whole point of American excellence is that we were we really grew our literacy so that we could make our own decisions.
Right.
And that's the whole point of the republic that was created,
right,
is that we want a literate citizenry that can make decisions for their own self-sufficient needs,
right?
Not the government. We don't worship at the altar of government. By the way, what do you think about what Trump said at Liberty University's commencement when he said, we worship God, not at the
altar. Oh, I thought it was fantastic. And that's the other thing. And some people are saying, especially evangelical Christians, oh, we're just all in Trump's camp and because he's mentioning God again. I don't happen to know why he's mentioning God. Yeah, if you look at his past life, yeah, does he have a stellar,
He's a good middle-of-the-road Episcopalian, for goodness sakes.
That's my point. My point is we're always the ones that are accused of wanting to have some kind of potentate theocrat in office, correct? The evangelicals, of which I'm a member. And yet the reality is that's not true at all, because here's a guy that is nothing like what we want, but he's actually saying things that are in keeping with the traditions and culture of the United States of America. It's on our bills. In case anybody hates the mention of God, it's right there. Just pull out a $1 bill and look at it. In God we trust. I mean, it's there, and it's because it's in the fabric of who we are as a nation.
Well, and again, this is the kind of silliness that I've been seeing, is the questioning of everything that Trump does, including his faith. He's an Episcopalian. He's been an Episcopalian since a child. He sat in those pews, read the Book of Common Prayer on a daily basis, and when he was going to private school, you know, he had to go to chapel.
Right.
And guess what was at chapel? The Book of Common Prayer of the Episcopal Church of America. So this guy is the most middle of the road, and so, you know, I understand why conservatives would have a problem with him, because the Episcopal Church is middle of the road.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But, you know, but to have anybody on the other side, just left of center, questioning his faith, give me a break.
But
he's on your side.
Whose business is it anyways?
Right.
Exactly. So what I don't understand, and I've said this time and again in Facebook forums and to friends in private talk, that I don't even like the person that is Donald Trump. I do think he's brash. I think he's so pompous and arrogant, and it often causes him to stumble. I do think he's ignorant on a lot of things, which is why I'm so glad he's got the people that he has around him, because they are very smart. But at the same time, I also don't think that he is some kind of a person that is deserving, because of that, of immediate assault. Because from a policy standpoint, the policies that he's putting forward, I think are good policies for this country, and I want to see them enacted.
Outstanding. Joe Morgan, thank you very, very much for being my guest today.
Thank you for having
me. I've wanted to have this conversation, and I'm very, very glad that you're at the Arizona Daily Star. With regards to the last thing that we get to talk about here, where are we going to be with regards to our relationship with a very, very heavily protected Republican legislature that our Democrat legislatures don't even get their stuff heard in committee, and yet at times we have Democrat legislatures that kind of come up with some good ideas on occasions, you know?
It's very problematic. I've said that before, and I'll close with this. I honestly don't mind, because I'm a federalist. I believe in federalism and states' rights. I wish we had more dialogue at home, because it hurts when we have the rank partisanship. I honestly don't mind it in the federal level, because that means they're not getting anything done, which means the states then have the authority to pass their own things. And I think that's a good thing for all of us. But it's bad when rank partisanship it filters down into the city and municipalities, in which we cannot even work together. And we are neighbors, and we're in this together, and we're supposed to be listening to one another, hearing each other's ideas. And if you're in politics, you're supposed to be finding common ground. That's what I think. So.
Outstanding. Joe, thank you so very, very much for being my guest. It has been an absolute pleasure filling in for Bill Buckmaster. Listen for me next Wednesday, May 24th. I will be guest hosting again with some hopefully provocative guests like I've had today. Thank you, and have a great afternoon.